what it is you might be facing tonight in your life, because I don't know each of you personally. I've certainly had a variety of phone calls this week. There's a variety of tragedies and a variety of traumas and a variety of confusing situations just represented tonight in this auditorium. I want to encourage you in this tonight. God is the answer for what you are facing. You may not totally understand that, and it may not make all the sense in the world to you yet. But the words of Jay's song could not be more true. Everything that God is everything that we need in our lives. That's been the sole purpose of this series. When we understand who God is, then we can understand life. When we understand what God is like, then we begin to comprehend how we will be able to cope and deal with life as we know it on this planet. I want to talk with you tonight in ending this series on probably one of the most misunderstood yet most important attributes of God. And that's on the graciousness of God. I'm going to help you tonight understand why the world is the way it is. We got into that a little last week. And I'm going to share with you biblically what is coming in the future. We will not get into it in full details, but I'm going to flesh it out enough tonight so that you will understand what life is about, what is at stake, and what you need to do about it. What you need to do with the information that you're given. I want you to think for just a moment what it would be like if someone were to come up to you and give you a blank check. In fact, a number of blank checks, thousands of blank checks, to be used whenever you needed them, that you had an unlimited supply, a resource supply to draw upon in times of difficulty. There is not one of us here tonight who wouldn't take that instantly. In fact, it's one of the main reasons people play the lottery. It's actually a foolish venture to play the lottery. Your odds of winning, you'd be better to get struck by lightning than to win the lottery. Yet people play it and play it and play it. You know why they play it? They play it because deep down inside of every human being, there is this tremendous desire to have it made. There is this desire for permanent security. It's not really a desire for most people. I don't think it's greed, personally. As I've studied human behavior, as I've observed human beings, I don't think it's primarily people's greed. I don't think it's primarily their materialism. I think the main driving, motivating factor for all of us in having a good job or a better job or enough insurance is security. We are looking for some sort of security in our life. And we would give anything to have that. I'm going to share with you tonight how you can have that for free in your life. God offers you absolute security in your life. In the difficult times and in the good times. And He offers you this security, not just for the here and now, but for your eternity. For forever. And it's very important that you understand that. It's very important that you understand that you can have it for free. You don't have to buy a little lotto number from God. You don't have to wait in line behind a billion other people who are waiting to get it. Jesus said, come and drink freely from the waters of life. Drink, drink, Jesus said, and then out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. God is alive. He is real and He is personal. It was interesting this last Wednesday evening as Brent was showing his slides on Russia. He had a picture of a cathedral. One of the great Russian cathedrals, and he shared this statistic. He said it took 600 years to build that cathedral from start to finish. And he said one of the things represented in the cathedral was the theology of the church at that time. They were very vast and expansive and very large. And he said one of the reasons they were that way, you were down here and the ceilings were so high, was because it was believed that God was very impersonal and He was very distant from us. Nothing biblically could be further from the truth. God, the Bible says in the book of Acts, is not very far from any of us. And there are those of us here who have learned tonight that not only is He not far from us, but He desires to come and live in you and be a part of every day of your life. I shared with you the first week that God was your Heavenly Father and what that Father is like. And we talked last week about God's goodness and God's wisdom. Now you're going to see today how all these things work together in God's plan for the entire world. For every single man, woman, and child, you're going to be able to comprehend the beginning, the middle, and the end. Last week I shared with you the story of Adam and Eve. And I suggest to you, and I would assert to you, that it is true. If you decide not to believe it, that's up to you. You'll learn later. You'll get your day with God and you can talk to Him about whatever you want. But I can promise you then that your arguments won't go very far with God. Because God made you and I. The book of Psalms reaffirms this over and over and over again. I was reading today in Psalm 146 and it said, "Praise be to God, the maker of heaven and earth. The maker of every being." God made you and I. And He made you and I with a very specific and fantastic plan. That plan started when He made Adam and Eve. Now, I told you last week that God put Adam and Eve in this gigantic garden. Everything was just wonderful there. It was just perfect. They had billions of trees, billions of forests, and there was this one tree. God told them, "Don't eat of this tree." For on the day He warned them, there was a big warning label right on it said, "The day you eat, you die." So Adam and Eve, we don't know how long they lived in the garden. They enjoyed perfect utopian harmony with man and beast. They ruled over the earth. They were vegetarians, probably. The little animals were all their friends. There was no mosquitoes to bite you, no flies to bug you, no ticks to grab you, no leeches that would suck your blood. Just a harmonious place. The water was purer than pure can be that we know today. No pollution, no smog, no frustrations, no anxieties, just perfect harmony between God and man. But one day, man and woman decided to defy God. Now, this is very important you understand this. They made a willful decision, and God gave them that choice. God is a loving God, and He gave them the choice to choose life or death. This particular day, for some reason, the temptation was just too great. And they decided, here's what they decided. Here's what tricked them. All right, this is very important that you understand this. Satan, who the Bible says was in the form of a serpent, tricked Eve into believing that God was withholding something from her. God knows that if you eat this, you'll be really wonderful. Why, you'll be like God. And He's trying to keep something from you, Eve. Well, Eve listened. Eve took of the fruit, and then she went to her husband as well. And he made a choice too. Wasn't her fault. She can't blame the woman. It was his fault. And he took the fruit as well. And at that very moment, the Bible says they lost something. What they lost was their spirituality, their life. They instantly died. And the first thing they noticed was, "We're naked." My gosh, they were ashamed. For the first time in their life, they felt shame. You know, the devil's not changed his tactics at all. Our world system operates no differently today. It regularly tells us God is awful and He's trying to keep something from you. That's why you should have sex before you marry, for an example. For an example. Well, the Bible says something totally opposite. God says, "Wait. By the way, I'm the one who made this, gang. I made you male and female. I know what I'm doing. So wait for this." No, we don't want to wait. So what do we have? Runaway teen pregnancy, runaway AIDS, runaway communicable diseases. It's costing us billions of dollars in taxes, and we still haven't seen the light. That's how powerful the deceiver is. We think God's a bad guy. He's trying to keep something from us. He is never, ever trying to keep a thing from you. His determination is by His goodness to give you everything. More than you could ever imagine. So Adam and Eve, they blew it. Well, because they blew it and we're their descendants, we all got this nature. It just passed right on to us. And the Bible calls it sin. All sin means is you missed the mark. You're not like God. Whether it's in our actions, whether it's in our thoughts, whether it's in our deeds, our attitudes, we're not like God. But you know something? What Adam and Eve didn't realize was that they were fitting right into God's master plan. For the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now you're going to get to see a greater perspective of God and how God has been working through all this time. You see, God made man to have a relationship with. He made men and women to have a relationship with. He cannot force himself on them, because then it wouldn't be a relationship. He wanted to love them and he wanted them to respond to his love. Now you and I both know that in relationships, whenever you give love, there's always a risk that you get burned. If there was never a risk, it would never be love. That person would never have a choice. That's part of the nature of love, of stepping out on that love limb and saying, I love you. Well, you might get rejected. God knew that. But God knows that His ways are best, and He knew what His plan was. Here was His plan. His plan was, at the very right time, the book of Romans tells us, at the right time, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is also God. And He sent Him to become a payment for all of the wrongs you and I had ever done. We call that grace. Grace, the definition, is favor you don't deserve. For example, on my trip to Myrtle Beach, I like to drive fast. I don't like to waste time on the highway. I like to get where I'm going as quick as I can. This particular day, I was going about 80. My van handles it, seems to go fine. I'm a very careful driver, but I was going 80, I admit it. But I'm always watching for the highway patrolman. Always looking. Well, he got me on the way home. We're going through South Carolina. Next thing I see these flashing red lights, I didn't think twice, just pulled over. I knew. He got me. Walked up to the window. First thing you do is you never smart off the officers. Okay? I had my license already, and he said, you know, I said, yes, sir, I was breaking the law. I said, well, I appreciate that honesty, young man. I guess he thought I was young. Something like that, you know. So he walks over, he goes back, he walks up, he says, well, you know, you were going this fast, speed limit's that. And I said, yes, sir, that's true. You're right. I said, well, I think he could tell we were on, you know, sort of, we weren't from there because of our Minnesota plates. And he was gracious. He said, well, I'm going to let you go. Have a nice time, have a nice vacation. Just keep it down low. I said, yes, sir, thank you very much, sir. Always say sir. That's a very important thing to say. Now, what I just told you is a description of grace. Just a little itsy-bitsy description of grace. I deserved the ticket. I knew I was breaking the law. Just like most of our society knows we are breaking God's laws. We know that in our heart. Do you know why? God's programmed you that way. God has programmed you with the right chips inside of you. It's called a conscience. And you and I remember the first time, I remember the first, when I was about, I don't know, maybe I was 4, maybe I was 5, and I remember my teen years when I deliberately went against my God-given conscience. When I deliberately did things I knew were wrong, or thought things I knew were wrong, and dwelled on them, I knew they were wrong. Okay? So God, He knew this would happen. He knew that man would go his own way. So instead of going, well, you scumbag, I gave you the garden. I gave you everything. You had it made. Now I despise you. I hate you people. You people make me sick. I went out on a limb for you. I made the world for you. Look what you've done to it. I'm just going to destroy all of you. He didn't do that. Instead, He sent His Son. His perfect Son. His only Son. Now I'm a father, so I can grasp just a little bit what it would be like to give my Son over to the courts in Wisconsin and allow him to stand trial for what Jeffrey Dahmer did. You may not understand that, but that's how repugnant what you and I have done is to God. That's how gracious God has been to you and I. So what he did was he sent his Son, Jesus. And Jesus lived for 30 years. The reason he lived for 33. But the reason he came was to prove his validity. Some of you have wondered, is Christianity relevant? How do I know Christianity for any other religion? Let me just tell you right now, Christianity is the only religion. that matters, because it's the religion that came from God Himself. How do you know that? Number one, Jesus validated it through miracles. He rose people from the dead. He made blind people see. He made lame people walk. And they weren't that phony baloney garbage you see on television. This stuff was real. And the Jews saw it. And they despised Him for it. But how do you argue with a dead man named Lazarus, who's been dead 3 days, wrapped up in a tomb, who's walking around now? When Jesus stands in front of a multitude and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes mummified, walking out of the tomb. This is history, people. This is not mythology. This was not made up. And the Jewish Pharisees hated Jesus for this, because they could never argue against His miracles. No one, not Muhammad, not the Hindu gods, have ever physically come and done those types of things. Nor have they claimed to. Jesus did. Secondly, Jesus claimed to be God. The second reason the Jews despised Him and hated Him, particularly the Pharisees. You cannot claim to be. Thirdly, Jesus would forgive people's sins. You only do that if you're God. And fourthly, He died. He was crucified, which is one of the most terrible, atrocious ways to die. His side was rammed with a sword. He was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says. He laid in the tomb 3 days, embalmed with approximately 100 pounds of embalming materials. And 3 days later, He wasn't there. He rose from the dead, just like He said He would. So you don't have to question Christianity. The question is, will you embrace it or reject it? The choice is yours, but you won't change God's graciousness to you. God loves you. Period. And His Son died for all the wrongdoings that you and I have ever done or ever will do. That's grace. He paid your ticket. He paid for your crimes and for my crimes. Now, God has given you and I this window of opportunity we call life. The thing we need to understand about life, and I'm saying this to be honest with you, for no other reason than to speak honestly to you, is I don't know if tomorrow you and I will even be here. We don't know that. I don't know if I'll reach 70. Maybe I will. I hope kind of I do. I'd like to see my kids grow up and get married. I'd like to have grandchildren and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know if that will happen. I just talked to a woman Wednesday night whose brother just died. Talked to a woman last week whose son, 38, died unexpectedly. You just don't know that. You don't know that. Let me tell you what we know. Let's talk about what we know. Number one, we know that God loves you and has decided to be gracious to you and I. He's decided to freely offer us eternal life. You can live forever. And not here, because I sure wouldn't want to live here forever. But in a brand new place that God is making for you and I. You see, don't worry too much. I'm not against environmentalism. I'm not against recycling. But let me just tell you a little clue. You can read this yourself. Don't worry too much about the planet, because God's planning on destroying it anyway. Revelations, you can read that yourself. Okay? He's going to destroy it. Do you know why? You know why? Because it's stained with sin, and nothing impure can even come in contact with God. He'll have nothing to do with it. So He's going to redeem it. He's going to make a new one, a new heaven and a new earth, just for you that have chosen to accept His grace. Just for you men and women, young and old, children, whoever you are, black, white, red or yellow, people of every tribe and nation who have decided, I want to receive God's gift. That's what the word literally means. It's a gift. And God is extending you and I. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in Me will never perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting, live forever. Not only will you live forever, but you get God living inside of you. Paul says this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You talk about stability. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine what it'd be to have the most powerful being in the universe living inside of you? People often ask me, well, Mark, you know, how is God practical? How is He relevant? I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God. I never had a speech class. That one of the most frightening things in the world is stand in front of a bunch of people with no notes in your hand and speak to them. How How do you do that? I do that because of God. Because I know God's in me. He's promised to never leave me or forsake me. And I know for sure that what I'm telling you is true. Or I wouldn't set foot on this stage. He gives us confidence for living. He gives us grace in any and every circumstance. Remember when I was talking about the blank check earlier? Let me explain what I mean by that. Does that mean I have lots of money in the bank? No. I'm talking about a blank check for living, not just for material things. I'm talking about the strength or the courage or the peace or the comfort that I need in any situation that I face in life. God is there in my life and He's extending to me whatever it is I need to face that circumstance. Be it the person who calls me on the phone who's ready to take their own life. How do you deal with that? God is there to give me the grace and the words to deal with that individual. Whether it's with parenting, my children, is it scary? Sure, it's scary. But God is there to give me the strength and the wisdom and the insight that I need. He's there to listen to my problems. He's there to talk to at any time. Listen, I feel like the richest guy in the world. Would I want to win the lottery? No. I could really care less if I win the lottery. You want to play it for me? Give me a ticket. That's up to you. I would not encourage you to. But it would make no great significant difference in my life. Because I have the maker of heaven and earth in my life. I know the richest person in the world. He's my dad. And everything that's his is mine. And one day, physically, it will all be mine and yours who have chosen to accept His gift. So here's what's coming. We've got this span of life. God has decided, since Jesus died, until He comes back. Jesus is coming back. Let me explain something to you about Jesus. He came once, He's coming again. The first time He came as Savior. He did not come as judge. He came as a Savior. He came extending grace and goodwill and peace to all mankind. So far it's been approximately 2,000 years since He left. All those individuals who have lived during that time period have had an opportunity to know Him. Now whether they choose Him or not, that's their business. But God has done all that He can to reach out to them. One day, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back physically, He won't come back as Savior. For the Bible says God, the Father, has appointed a day whereby He will judge the world through one man, Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die, then comes judgment. You either embrace Christ or you answer for your crimes. The choice is yours. You either accept God's grace, and He'll give it to you for free. No strings attached. You don't have to say 50 Hail Marys. You don't have to do any penance. You don't have to pay any money to this church. You don't have to fall on your face and beg and plead. You simply reach out with your heart in faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I want what You want to give me. I recognize I need You. I want You to forgive me and give me life. And the Bible says the moment you do that, He comes into your life and you become, in that moment, a child of God. And it's referred to in the Bible as what you have heard, born again. You are born again into God's family. That's your choice. God wants that for you. The Bible says that God is not willing that any man or woman should perish, but that every person should come to Christ. But God is true to Himself. And for those who reject Him, then they must be dealt with. There must be justice. And there will be. And so on that day, God will judge every man, woman, and child who has not embraced Him, who could have. When I say child, I'm talking about a child who understands these concepts. Not a child who does not. A child that does. A child who's old enough, a little one-year-old doesn't understand what I'm saying. And the Bible says this, those who do not will be cast away into eternal destruction apart from the presence of God. Now I want you to picture for a moment what it would be like to be apart from the presence of God. Because right now, you are enjoying, even though you may not know Him, you're enjoying the presence of God. You're enjoying His sun. You're enjoying His planet. You're enjoying His food. You're enjoying the oxygen He put in your lungs. You're enjoying the body that He gave you. You're enjoying the blood that He put in your veins. You're enjoying the presence of God. But there will come a day when God's grace will end and His judgment will take over. It's very important that you know today where you stand with God. Because it'll make or break your future. Not only your eternity, but your day-to-day living. And then, for those of us that know Him, here's what's come in the world. This is why. This is one of the main things that keeps me going today on this planet. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, if I think we need to be honest and realistic, this is a putrid place to live. Planet Earth, frankly, sucks. Okay? I get sick and tired of the crime. I get sick and tired, frankly, of being concerned about my 13-year-old daughter, my son, who would like to ride their bike across the street from the game refuge when just a few weeks ago, a few days ago, a 17-year-old girl was stabbed about 40 times in a park. That gets a little old. And it's over and over and over. I read just today in the paper, two 15, 16-year-old guys tortured a man with MS in his wheelchair to death, stabbed him 50 times, poured salt into his wounds. The man begged for a gun to kill himself, and they refused. If you don't understand what sin is doing to this planet, you better get a clue. It is a tragic state of affairs today on this planet. We are just a cesspool of repulsive behavior and attitudes. And our only hope is the grace of God. His free grace. I don't know. Don't ask me. I cannot answer to you why God loves us. I have been searching for the answer to that for 17 years. I don't know why God loves me. I'm repulsive enough. I don't know why God loves me. The only conclusion I've come to is it's just the way He is. That settles it for me. I don't ask anymore. I say, Lord, if that's the way You want it to be, it's fine by me. But I don't comprehend it. God loves you. He loves every single man. He loves, this is mind-blowing, He loves the young men that perpetrated that crime. He realizes that sin has overtaken them and they were powerless against it. And that it's become their taskmaster. We call them addictions today. Sexual addiction, food addiction, addiction to alcohol, addiction. Frankly, we're just addicted to doing wrong things and destroying our own lives. And our only hope to break those bonds is Christ. He's your only hope. But He is the hope. And I'll tell you, He has broken them in mine and He can break them in yours. And I have seen Him break bondages in people's lives. All kinds of things. Bondage is just another word for addiction. I have seen Him destroy addictions in people's lives and give them a new lease on life. That's what God wants to do in your life. Now, when you come to know Him, you know what keeps me going? Is knowing that I'm just a stranger on this planet. This is not my home. I'm going home. One day, the Lord Jesus is not physically going to come down the planet. He's just going to come to the atmosphere. And He's going to take those of us who know Him, He's going to take us out of here. We're going to be gone. And we're going to go be with Him. Jesus told His disciples, He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Be of good cheer. For if I go away, I will come again and take you to where I am. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. It took God 7 days to make the earth. It's taken Him now over 2,000 years. He's been working on this new place for us. I want to tell you right now, it's going to be extraordinary. It will blow your mind. And it's just for you. It's just for those who have decided to embrace His gift and to embrace Him. And it's going to be yours. And you will live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You will never cry. You will never hurt. There will never be disease. There will never be temptation. There will never be murder. There will never be hatred. There will never be greed. There will never be anger. There will be total peace and harmony and beauty and God. And you will be discovering. You won't be playing some harp. You won't be floating around in nothingness. You will be discovering with me on my new mountain bike the new heavens and the new earth that God has made for you. Now, I only use one because I choose to, because we can fly around. You'll be able to be wherever you want to be, just like that. Jesus, once He rose from the dead and He got His glorified body, if you read the Gospels, He just, one day He was on the beach, the next moment, He's in the upper room. He could just kind of transport himself wherever he wanted to go. You'll be able to do the same because you'll have a glorified body. The only thing different now, once you come to Christ, between now and then, is your body. And I know a lot of you don't like yours, and I don't blame you. I don't like mine either. I don't like mine either, okay? But I'll tell you a little secret right now. You're going to get a brand new perfect one the moment Christ comes back. The Bible says in Thessalonians, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed and you'll be like Him. And you will be His bride. That He doesn't mean in a literal sense, but in a personal, intimate sense, that's how He sees you who've come to know Him as His bride, as His precious bride. And you'll be with Him forever. And ever, and you'll never get bored. And you'll never get tired. See, God is infinite. His joy is infinite. His resources are infinite. You'll have infinite joy, infinite happiness, and on and on and on. Meanwhile, while you're there, the world down here is going to go through some unbelievable chaos. Let me just give you a brief overview. There'll be what the Bible calls a tribulation period. There'll be what's called the Antichrist. You realize right now our world is in a lot of turmoil. We're in a lot of economic turmoil. What's going to happen? A man is going to arise. A very powerful man. And he's going to convince society to take on a one world system of government and of finance. And we are headed in that direction now. The way is being prepared for that. He will insist that in order to do this, you take a mark, either on your hand or on your forehead. Probably won't be visible. They're experimenting with these right now in Southern California. You just walk by, no credit card to be stolen. Nobody's going to cut your hand off and steal your number. See, it ain't going to work. And you just walk through, and it just debits your account, whatever amount the bill was. That one day, something like that will be our whole world system. It'll save billions of dollars in the banking industry. It will be like a literal miracle. And the world will literally, in a sense, worship Him. He will set up His government. For 3.5 years, there'll be peace. Peace in the Middle East, peace in the world. Our world today is clamoring for peace. Last 3.5 years, God will pour out literally His judgment for 3.5 years on this planet. It'll be devastation. 1/3, the Bible says in Revelation, of all the world will die. 1/3 of the planet will be destroyed. It'll be useless. 1/3 of mankind will be destroyed. And then at the end of that 7 years, boom, Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. And then there'll be the great battle of what you've heard of, the Battle of Armageddon. And He will set up His reign. And for 1,000 years, you and I who know Him, you will reign with Him. And then, every man and woman at the end of that 1,000 years. And John says, and I looked and saw the dead, small and great, for miles standing before the throne. And they were judged by the deeds written in the book. And anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I am not trying to scare you people. I'm trying to honestly tell you what's coming and help you understand God's plan. The only way God can truly save society is one, you embrace Him, or two, He destroys sin. Rocks don't sin. Trees don't sin. People sin. So we either allow Him to change us, we either allow Him to experience His grace in our life, or one day we are no more. The choice is yours. I want to encourage you, as Paul said, please do not consider yourself unworthy of eternal life. There is not one person here tonight who needs to leave this room feeling unworthy, feeling like I did something so bad, I don't believe God can forgive me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were two men on each side of Him. And during the whole time He's hanging there, they're making fun of Him. They're laughing at Him, saying, Jesus, if you're so big, then get us down and get yourself down. But during the time they were hanging there, one of them, he was a thief, a no good for nothing individual. He came to his senses. He said, Jesus, would you remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. It didn't have to be no fancy prayer. It just has to be an admission in your heart, Lord, you are God. You are God. And I need you. And I want you in my life. Now, I have so many people, and I'm sure many of you here who know Christ have experienced this. People will say, what? How do you make it through life? Or what is the secret to your family? I get around people on a regular basis who comment on my family. As if I'm so wonderful. I'm not. It is God's grace in our lives. It just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. You know, the only thing that stops God's grace to our life is pride. The simplest pathway to heaven is humility. The willingness to just admit, Lord, I need you. I want you in my life. And I'm willing tonight to accept what you did. I'm not going to ask questions, Lord. I mean, if you can forgive what I did when I was 15, if you can forgive what I did when I was 70, if you can forgive what I did last night, then God, I want that forgiveness. I'll never forget one time talking to a young woman. She'd give me a call about 2:30 in the morning. Hurting. This gal was... I've never met anyone quite so messed up. She's extremely immoral. She reminds me of the story of Mary Magdalene. She just slept around night after night after night. That was about her life for the previous 2 years. She called me one night, and we'd been dialoguing over the phone for a period of time. And one night I said, what would you give to feel clean again? What would you give to have your virginity back? What would you give to be able to lay your head down on your pillow and feel clean and know I'm new? And she started crying. She said, I'd give anything. I said, then you just ask for it. Because that's what God is offering to you. He's offering you a guilt-free conscience. He's offering to clean you up and make you brand new and make you His child. And you can experience God's grace. I want to encourage you tonight as we close. If you do not know Christ, embrace Him. Invite Him into your life. You can do it tonight as I close in prayer. You know the amazing thing about God? I didn't get to this in the series. I wished I could spend months just on this topic alone. I never talked about the greatness of God, but just let me tell you this. God is so great that He can hear every prayer in this auditorium tonight, all at the same time, as though He was listening just to you, just to your voice, just to your words. He is that personal. He is that powerful. He is that everywhere all at one time. He can be my God, all mine, and He can be all yours, all at the same time. Now, I'm going to close tonight the service, and I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, I want to invite you, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not sure tonight, I wonder if I died, what would happen? I don't know Christ is in my life. Maybe you think you did one time. Maybe when you were at a Bible camp when you were 7, but you're not sure. Make sure tonight. You just invite Him into your life. You just simply say in your mind, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me. I believe that you died for me. See, faith is the issue. I want to tell you something right now. God is not going to prove a thing to you. He already proved it. He sent His Son. He proved it. He's not going to come down from heaven and talk to you in a big voice. He's not going to write words in the clouds. All the evidence you have is right here. Now, what you do with the evidence is a matter of faith. It's a matter of your choice. You can choose life, or you can choose death. You can choose God, or you can choose our world system. You've seen what our world system has to offer. I've been sharing with you tonight what God has to offer. And He wants to give it to you without any strings attached. It's free. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You tonight so much for the reality of Your Son. I want to thank You, Lord, tonight for the reality of Your power. I want to thank You, Lord, tonight for the reality of Your forgiveness in my own life. If it was not for that, Lord, I would not have the audacity or the nerve to come and speak to these men and women. Lord, tonight I know for a fact that Your heart is breaking and aching for these men and women. Your heart aches and longs to be gracious to every single man and woman. You will not force yourself on anyone, but you will invite, you will warn, you will challenge, you will try to get their attention. Lord, tonight you know that you and I have done all that we can to try to get their attention. I just pray, Lord, You give them the courage to step out of their own comfort zone and embrace the Lord Jesus, to taste and see that the Lord is good just like Your Word says. Lord, I've known You now these last 17 years of my life. Been the most extraordinary years of my life. Sure, they've been hard and there's been trials, but I'll tell you, Lord, I wouldn't trade you for all the money, the pleasure in the world. I just pray, Lord, tonight that you'd make yourself known to each person here. Draw them to yourself. Thank you for your extraordinary love. In Jesus' name, amen.